Well, there's really nothing new about the commandment to love. The Torah was full of admonitions to love, and it was said in many different ways. We know that the two greatest commandments of the ancient Jewish teachings were to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So what is new here is Jesus' statement, just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. He gives himself as an example of how to love. He invites us to look back over his life and to pay attention to how he expressed love through the years. Now, it's very easy to get sentimental about love, especially on Mother's Day. And it's very easy to bring up the image of gentle mothers snuggling little pink bundles. But you know what? As any mother knows, love is anything but sentimental. Love is hard work, and sometimes it's tough work. And as any mother knows, love must be expressed in a variety of ways depending on the circumstances and what is needed in the moment. Sometimes it is a gentle hug. Sometimes it's firm discipline. Sometimes it's bad tasty medicine or an unpleasant shot. Sometimes it's defending your child against a bully or an unjust authority. Sometimes it's accepting the imperfections of your children. Sometimes it is celebrating how very different the other is from yourself. Sometimes it's teaching a lesson. Sometimes it's forgiving and forgetting. And sometimes it's just letting go so the other can be free. Love is no simple matter. It requires different responses in different circumstances. And when we look back over the gospel according to John, we see Jesus manifesting love in a variety of ways. We see profound generosity at the wedding in Cana when he turned gallons and gallons of water into fine wine, thus signaling the abundance of blessings that he poured out on his people. We see righteous indignation when he violently drove the salesmen and money changers from the temple in Jerusalem. And with that one act, he intentionally challenged the authorities and invited their rage to be focused on himself. At a well in Samaria, he broke all the social norms of his culture by having a deep, private conversation with a woman. This was considered improper behavior. And to make matters worse, she was not just a woman, she was a foreigner, one who was considered spiritually inferior, unclean, and impure. Yet Jesus spent time with her and offered her living water. He signaled to his disciples that he was not going to be bound by the limitations, prejudices, and racism of his day. He reached out to her and to her people, and many came to believe in him as a result. He showed his love through the gift of healing, and upon occasion did that work in violation of the rules of his religion. He set aside the rules against working on the Sabbath, and did the loving thing. He healed those who needed it. And when he was criticized for it, he challenged his critics to open their hearts to a larger love. In fact, challenge was a big part of his ministry, of his love. We see that Jesus' love was not judgmental. He refused to condemn the woman caught in adultery and pointed out that none of us are perfect. We see Jesus feeding hungry people in an act of compassion and caring. We see him weep in grief over the death of a dear friend, and then we see him restoring that friend to life. We see Jesus take on the role of a servant and wash the disciples' feet in an act of humility and love. Throughout his ministry, we see that he expressed his divine love in strong, bold, unexpected, and courageous ways. He was not a feel-good preacher just telling people what they wanted to hear and supporting their current assumptions and practices and prejudices. He challenged them to grow spiritually. He challenged them to think deeper. He challenged them to open their arms wider in love. When we read the Gospel of John with an eye to understanding how to love as Jesus loved, we see two currents that run throughout all of his activities. There were two gifts that he consistently gave to those around him: the gift of time and the gift of faith. He gave freely of himself. He gave freely of his presence. That means he gave freely of his time. In many ways, our time is the most precious gift we have to give. Mothers know that. Mothers know that dolls and toys are wonderful, but the most important thing in nurturing our children is spending time with them. Playing hide and seek and pretending to be surprised when you discover your beautiful child hiding under the blanket for the 50th time. And you act like, oh my gosh, it's a surprise. Reading the same story that they love for 150 times. Listening to them and taking interest in the things that interest them, even if they seem silly to us. Just as time together is essential for a healthy family, so time together is also essential for a healthy family of faith. It is when we worship together and eat together and talk together that we build relationship, trust, understanding. We show our love for one another by listening to each other, caring about the things that concern one another, and giving each other the simple gift of our presence. I say these words knowing how busy we all are, knowing how time-consuming it often is just to earn a living in California. I say these words knowing how difficult time management can be. I am acutely aware of how many of us make tough decisions every day about how we will spend our time and with whom. I am also acutely aware of the danger of spreading ourselves too thinly. Nevertheless, I want us to be aware that our calendars reveal where our hearts are. I want us to recognize the spiritual value of time and choose wisely and consciously where we will invest the time that we have been given. When we think about loving as Jesus loved, we often think about the sacrifice of his death. But when we look at his total ministry, we see that long before he gave up his life, he gave away his life. He gave away the moments of his life in attention to others, loving attention to others. And he invites us to do the same. The second gift that he consistently gave was the gift of faith. More than anything else, he was deeply concerned about people's spiritual lives and about their faith lives. He may have offered them bread, but he made sure that they also received the bread of life, which was not physical. He was more concerned to heal spiritual blindness than he was physical blindness. He understood that true life is the life of the Spirit, a relationship with God, a soul connection with the divine. That, more than anything else, was what he endeavored to give to those who came in contact with him. He invited them to open their eyes to the reality of God's grace and to live a grace-filled life. He invited and challenged them to open their hearts to love ever more fully, to forgive ever more freely, and to share ever more openly. His love was tough love sometimes, but it was tough for a reason. He wanted us to come to know the joy and the peace of a life lived in intimate relationship with God. That was the greatest gift that he could give. When we try to love as he loved, we too must value the gift of faith and seek ways to nurture faith in others. The simple ministries that we do here of worship, music, hospitality, Sunday school are all profoundly important because they are designed to nurture faith. Supporting those ministries is an act of love. To love as Jesus loved is to share our time and our faith with others and remain true to the gospel in all circumstances. To love as Jesus loved requires insight, courage, conviction. To love as Jesus loved is seldom easy, but he promised to be with us and to lead us if we will just listen with our hearts and seek his presence there. He is our model and our guide, and he will show us the way. May it be so. Amen.